Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's program is part of the new They Found the Answer series presented by The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. It's part of a collection of special rebroadcasts. And today, Kelly Boy De Lima is featured. As you listen, you may sense a special awareness of your desire to know God in a personal way. And if you'd like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to visit www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. If you're listening to the show online, go ahead and just click the Get to Know Jesus tab. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this moment with Kelly Boy De Lima and his wife, Leolani. The founding member of Kapena is Kelly Boy De Lima. From brown bags to stardom, to multiple Nahoku Hanohano awards, and such a busy schedule from invitations, contracts, gigs, hotels, parties. They are on the go most every day, blessing people, bringing hope to people. Kelly Boy is a devout follower of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't always that way. He's here to tell us his story, along with his dear wife, Leo. Kelly Boy, Leo, welcome to our show.
Hey, Danny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Praise God. Blessed to be here.
Kelly Boy, tell us, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in on the west side of the island. Mm-hmm. I'm from Makaha, and I attended Miley Elementary, Makaha Elementary, and just about the sixth grade, just before I was getting out of sixth grade, going into the Waianae Intermediate, my dad and my mom had separated, and my mom moved to Aiea, and I moved with my dad to the Kapuhulu area. Mm-hmm. And then attended Washington Intermediate School, and then I attended Kaimuki Intermediate School. During those times, I was that was the times of, and then ultimately going to Kaimuki High School. Okay. That's my background and where I mm-hmm. grew up.
Local boy through and through.
Through and look like one Haole, but I'm a local boy through and through. My mom is from Canada. My dad is Hawaiian Portuguese. I don't know my mom's side of the family too much. I've been to Canada maybe two or three times. Mm. One of them I don't remember. My mom was 18 when she came to Hawaii visiting. She was a tourist, and my dad was working down on a Waikiki beach playing his ukulele, and he called her over and he said, "Hey," whistled, and he said, "Come over here." And she said she should have just kept walking, but she stopped. And I don't know, my mom been here like 47 years now.
Wow.
46, 47 years. So.
Kelly Boy, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, you know, growing up in Waianae, and looking the way I did, you know what I mean, on Haole boy running in Waianae, not too many Haole people was running around in Waianae back in those days, you know, and definitely the minority. Going to Makaha Elementary, and either was fighting every day or running every day. Either fight or run. And I was one of the fastest runners in Makaha Elementary. And you know, growing up like that, I think because my dad was the Hawaiian Portuguese, you know, and he was a local boy that, you know, and he knew, you know, our family is big down Waianae. We get a lot of family. My dad got plenty of brothers, you know, got 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with the Kanaka side, you know what I mean? He was a big part, you know, of my life. Only for the fact because in Waianae, in Makaha, and, you know, it was all about survival, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he was the proof, I guess, you know, that I was, you know, half Hawaiian, you know? I had Hawaiian blood and, you know, that I belong there, you know what I mean? I was born and raised there, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I belong and... You know, like when people would see my dad, it was, oh, that's your dad, you know, looking the way I do. And then they look at my dad, you know, totally opposite. You mm-hmm. wouldn't even mm-hmm. think, you know. And so I guess he was a big, big, big influence in my life. He really, you know, he had my utmost respect. And he was a, you know.
What was it about dad that,
you know, he was.
That influenced you?
He was a loving dad, you know, he was a loving dad, but he had this personality that was kind of like Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hyde, kind of like, that guy, when he snapped, like, he would just snap, you know, and it's just, he wouldn't spare the rod with me. I mean, well, I was always getting into trouble, too. I mean, I don't know, because I always blame... You know, my looks, I guess, when I was growing up, why I had to prove myself to be, you know, even more, you know, not only was on teeth, but I had to be more of on teeth than the other teeth. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just always had to prove that in my life. And my dad was always beating the heck out of me. You know what I mean? Just for always getting into trouble. My dad had on bad past too. You know, my dad was locked up in a boys' school from when he was like 9 years old for robbing houses and stuff. And through all of his teenage years, you know, he was incarcerated, you know, they put in child, you know, kind of young boy kind. So, but he just, you know what I mean? I was in all kinds of programs too growing up, but that guy was, no matter how much licking I would get, Danny, I would never learn, you know, kind of like... He beat the crap out of me, man. And I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. Beat the heck out of me, you know. And, you know, it's like I would still keep going, you know what I mean, back to that, you know what I mean, you know, down that same path of no good, you know.
Yeah. You know, through your upbringing, and, you know, God has an amazing design. He, you know, he orchestrates things in marvelous ways.
Yeah.
There's a genius that was placed in you, a musical genius, a musical creativity, a gifting from God, a charisma that was there residing in you, a God-given gift.
Mm-hmm.
How did it come out? When did you begin to realize that you had something special?
Well, I remember going we used to have this thing right on Makaha Elementary, not Makaha Elementary, right across Cornets Beach in Makaha. There was, I forget what the name of this place was, but it was like one hut. And my parents used to take me, my dad would take me. And was ukulele lessons. And I was just one little guy. And I hated it. I hated it so bad. My mom would drop me off at a ukulele lesson. And I would cut out of a ukulele lesson. I'd be walking down the beach, throwing rocks in the ocean or skipping rocks. And my mom come back early and, you know, and I'm down the beach. And I never made them back to the hut in time, right? You know, and I get busted, you know what I mean? And she come home, she tell my dad when he come home from work, he went cut out of the class, and so he give me lickings. And he tell my mother, pull him out of that ukulele lessons. He not interested, pull him out. So That was my whole life. I go karate. I cut out of karate. They pull me out of karate. You know, just everything that, you know, that I was, you know, I did in the kind, they would just yank me. You know what I mean? So, when we moved out of, when my mom and dad separated, my kolohenes and my rakan got even more worse. You know what I mean? I was surfing, cutting out of school. I was started dabbling when my dad was on, was, when drug, he was selling drugs too. He was, selling, he used to sell a lot of pakalolo. Mm-hmm. And, so one day I went steal some of his stuff and I went with a couple of my friends and that was my first, you know, introduction really in smoking, you know, pakalolo. And, I got sick, threw up and everything, you know, took my first hit. And you would think people would quit, yeah, after they get an experience. But I don't know, I just kept stealing from him and, you know, just not plenty so he would know, you know, kind of just a little bit, you know. My dad never ever did drugs. He was never one drinker either, but he sold it, you know. And so that's how I first got my kind. Anyway, as I was growing up, as I was getting older in the 7th, 8th grade, I met these brothers. I met Gabby Pahinui's, first I met Jimmy Willis, who is my good friend that we grew up, and he used to play ukulele. He would play the ukulele, and he had a kamaka ukulele. And just to see that, you know, see somebody make music, you know, other than just turning on the radio and listening to the music, you could make your own music, you know, yeah. Strum this ukulele, and, you know, blew me away. You know, it was like, whoa. And then we met another guy that moved into, well, when we moved out of Kapahulu, my dad we moved into Waikiki. After Waianae, we moved into the Kapahulu area, and then we moved to Waikiki because dad had a job at the Pacific Beach Hotel. He's a food and beverage director there. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So I came into contact with all these brothers, you know, all Hawaiians, you know, that kind of, we all got along, you know, and we were thieving and we were playing music, thieving by night, playing music by day and getting high and smoking pakalolo and just living that teenage life, you know, that kind of, and barely going to school. And
how old were you at the time?
I had to be in about maybe 13. Mm-hmm. 12, 13, 14, 15, all around those, you know, through
playing
those years.
Playing music.
Just jamming in the stairwells in Waikiki because get echo, eh? So we all go in the stairwells.
Sound like a studio, yeah?
Yep. And we bussing out all the doobies and playing our music and, you know, just, and then at night we would go steal mopeds from University of Hawaii or we'd go rob or do.
So this is where you were learning your music.
Yeah, I was during these times, you know what I mean?
In the stairwells.
Yeah. We were just, well, anyway, we met this other guy, Kunia, who is from Waimanalo. He is Gabby Pahinui's grandson, Gabby's daughter. That was this guy. Was phenomenal. I mean, he could play kind of like Men at Work, and he would play like Eric Clapton on a ukulele and all this kind. Wow. And he blew me away.
He could transform the ukulele,
anyway,
yeah?
This is who really, you know what I mean? Huh. He put inside of me to get to this next level. Anyway, I'm kind of jumping ahead. When I first saw my friend Jimmy Willis play, mm-hmm. I remember going home and very, very reluctantly going up to my dad. And my dad played beautiful slack key. Every morning when I wake up in the morning for go school, he's on his guitar playing slack key. And I would listen to my dad play. And, you know, I remember that as a kid growing, waking up in the morning, listening to him play before he went to work and I went to school. So reluctantly, I went and asked him if I could get on ukulele. And you know what? Hands down, I mean, he was the support in my life. When I asked him for the ukulele, excuse me, he looked at me and he goes, "Huh? You know, you like one ukulele?" And I said, "Yeah." And I remember him coming home from work the next day and taking me to Kamaka Ukulele. Bought me a brand new 8-string ukulele. At that time, was big boxes, $260. Now they run like $800. You know, but in those days, you know, was cheap. You know, I mean, well, was expensive. It would be like an $800 ukulele today. But you know, he went down and he bought that for me, case, and I took so much pride. And I remember one thing he told me. He said, "Brother, I better not see this ukulele collecting dust and in a closet in a couple of weeks, because everything he would try to inspire me. You know, would wind up, you know, in a closet, no use them, or, you know, I still got that bugger till today, Danny, you know, and I still, you know, but I remember going to my friend Jimmy's house and saying, "Hey, Willis, bruh, look what my dad bought me," and Jimmy was like, "Bruh, you don't even know how to play that thing, and your dad bought you," but I tell you, that inspired me, and then we met Kunia, and then that's how my, you know what I mean, I just practiced with, like, friends, and, you know, the Waikiki Beach Boys. They play all those fancy chords, you know, pretty red hibiscus and stuff. And I would go down the beach and I would give them to the uncles. And it goes, boy, bring that ukulele over here. And they're playing chords. And that's how I learned, bro.
What you're hearing today is how the budding or the blossoming of a God-given talent in our day, in our Hawaii today, has taken place. And Kelly-Boy de Lima is testifying, sharing how this God-given talent that God had placed in him was beginning to come out. And when we come back from our break, we're going to hear more, because, you know, when God has a purpose, just like he has a purpose for your life, even if we're getting lickings, or we start something and we stop. It doesn't dislodge God from his plans. He can still work in our lives, and he can work in your life. That's why Kelly-Boy de Lima is here, to share what God has done. You're going to hear more from him. We're going to hear more about Kapena when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. You are listening to a special rebroadcast program in the series entitled They Found the Answer, presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about our show, along with other resources for living the good life, and to find out what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more with Kelly Boy De Lima and his wife, Leo. Kelly Boy De Lima and Leo De Lima, you know the group Kapena, and a household name in Hawaii. And, you know, they have three extremely talented children, too. Kapena, Kalena, and Lilo. Now, I could tell, just when we talked, the children are the apples of their eye, these dear children. And they get to play together as one group, the group Kapena. But Kelly Boy is sharing with us about how it all began. So take us back. You were a teenager. You're at the beach. Your dad buys you a brand new 8-string ukulele. Mm-hmm. Your friends are there at the beach, and you're learning from some extremely talented people. Take us from there and how your talent was discovered. What was it like in high school, and how did things come together?
Well, from that point, I started, you know, learning, and just I would be, a couple of years went by, and we was always just jamming, and you know, going through my regular teenage life. And. And then one day, I was at Kaimuki High School, and I flunked the 10th grade, I think, like three times. I'm a high school dropout. I dropped out of high school after the 7th graders started catching up to the 10th grade. I said to myself, "Shucks, I better get out of here," you know. But I was always into, even though I was playing ukulele with these boys, these boys that I was hanging out around with was some pretty, there was some tough boys too. You know what I mean? I mean, we kani kapilad, and like I said, we was getting into all kind of trouble there. You know, my dad worked 19-hour days. My mom and dad were separated. My sister lived with my mom and I lived in Waikiki. And Waikiki and local boys, you know what I mean? That's like one, you know what I mean? It's like a bad situation, you know? We was into all kinds of stuff and just living, on the streets, and I got a lot of lessons from the streets, you know what I mean? Not only ukulele lessons, you know what I mean? But when I got to my high school, there was a competition called Brown Bags to Stardom. And I remember one night my dad taking me to the Waikiki Shell. And we went, and the entry for Kaimuki, I looked at him and I said to myself, "Dad, next year I'm gonna enter for Kaimuki High School, this talent contest, you know?" And my dad kind of looked at me and he kind of laughed and he was, "Ha, ha, ha, all right, bro." You know, the kind of like, pat me on the shoulder. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
you know,
son.
Yeah, okay, son. Think positive, whatever, you know? And Danny, I did. I put my own group together. We're in high school, and I put these guys together, and I sang a falsetto song called Ka'uluwehi o Kikai. Anyway, while putting this group together, I would come home and I tell my dad, "Hey, Dad, you can sign this paper." So he read them. He goes, "Talent contest, Brown Bags. What is this?" I goes, "Oh, I'm going to enter." And he goes, "Oh, okay." So he signed the paper. Take him to school. Then he goes, "Oh, so what, you get on group?" And I go, "Yeah, Dad, I get on group. We practice in a band room." And he goes, oh, why you not bring him home one day? I like see. And I goes, pretty soon. So weeks went by. He keep asking, hey, when you gonna bring? Well, one day I brought him home. Was a Samoan kid. His name is Sofengi Faitau. Portuguese boy, Pauli Miranda, and another Japanese Hawaiian boy, Ricky Bokarsi. was the four of us. And this Samoan boy, he was from Palolo Housing. And Pauli from Kapu'ulu area, and then Ricky from, he lived by, like, Makapolo, Kapu'ulu by Ialani school kind. Yeah. So four of us, you know. And we practiced, and I brought the boys home, and my dad heard us, and he almost fell down. And you could see tears in his eyes, you know. Mm. And at that point, yeah, I was heavy into still smoking Pakalolo. And pretty much my music was transforming. You know, that music was, you know, kind of pushing me into something that I was more responsible, because I was always known to my dad as not being responsible and reliable. Mm. But this music thing started kind of putting me, you know what I mean, somewhat, you know, on the track. So, you know, long story short, we entered Brown Bags. We won for Kaimiki High School over, you know what I mean, over all of the people. And we went to the Brown Bags to start them, which was a huge event. I mean, it was like, back in those days, had internet.
In the 80s, man, that was the thing, Brown Bags.
Brown Bags to Stardom was like, I don't know, like the American Idol.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. It was huge. The Waikiki Shell was packed. And we competed against Naleo Pili Mehana. And of course, we lost to Naleo, and we're still losing to Naleo, man. You know what? And we lost that night, and we didn't even, you know what I mean? I don't think we placed yet. We didn't even place.
We didn't place.
But it was a lasting impression, you know. And I remember coming home, what was it? They were going to broadcast it on TV. But we had got hired, I think, by somebody. And I remember back in those days, we only could do like 15 minutes of music, you know. We only knew like three songs.
That's all you had.
That was all I had. So we went to a gig for 15 minutes. And my dad, he laughed. But my dad stayed home and he taped it on Betamax. Never even had VHS.
Okay. Okay.
It was Betamax. So, you know, growing up in Waianae, like I said, you know, and this takes me back to the Waianae days. I'm in Kaimuki already, high school. And my dad knew every day I would fight. You know what I mean? And every day I would be called, hey, you know, so-and-so howly. So, I mean, bro, that's fighting words to me when I was growing up in Waianae. You know, so anyway, Ron Wiley was the disc jockey back in those days. And my dad watched the program, and my dad knew how I felt about, you know, people's comments or whatever, you know, about, you know, my nationality, right? So he introduces me as this redhead howly. Lead Hawaiians, what he says, featuring a redhead howley, lead Hawaiian vocalist that will knock your socks off. Danny, when I came home from the gig, my dad sat me down and he says, boy, before I show you this, the video, you know, I just want to say, and then he stopped and he goes, you know what, I'm just going to show you the video. So he showed me, and I couldn't even watch my performance. I was in tears. I wanted to beat the heck out of Ron Wiley. I was like, bro, if I ever catch that guy, you know. And my dad stopped the video, and he looked at me, and he goes, boy, come here, sit down. He says, bro, I like you realize something. He says, you don't understand, the position that, you know, you're in. No. And I says, I don't understand what you're trying to get at, Dad. And he says, boy, in years to come, 10, 20 years, you ask somebody, hey, remember that Japanese guy was singing Hawaiian falsetto? Or you remember that Hawaiian guy that was singing falsetto? Okay. He goes, But you try ask somebody 20 years down the line, hey, you remember that Hauli from Kaimuki was singing the kind? I says, they're going to always remember that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's, in other words, he was telling me, that's your trademark, bro. Mm. You and Hauli guy out there, you singing Hawaiian falsetto music. He goes, that's kind of hard for the kind. And my dad would take me around to parties, Danny, and he would sit in the back of the audience, and he's sitting, you know, he was on Kanaka, so he'd blend in with all the Kanakas, and he would sit in the back of the party, and he would hear the comments when I'm just walking on stage, right?
Yeah.
They look at each other and go, who the heck is this Hauli up there? What are you going to do? You know the kind. And right. Then you open up your mouth and it goes, oh, wow, this bugger can sing. You know, how we learn off of singing the Hawaiian and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my dad would get a kick. I mean, the comments, he said, oh, boy, I sit in the back there. I laugh. He says, so, you know, he always told me that's your trademark. You know what I mean? So even today, I walk past the uncles. I say, hey, Hauli boy, how you doing, brother? Oh, you play that sweet Hawaiian music, brother. They tell me, you know. And, you know, so my dad taught me that from that young age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be proud. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter what it's where you know what I mean? Where your heart is and your love for that music. You know?
That's such a great reminder. That God made us
unique.
Special.
Yes. Yeah.
Leo,
yes.
You just said the right. You yeah. said it.
Unique.
Right.
Yeah.
He made
and everybody is unique. Yes. Everybody. Unique. Not only because you and Hauli Boy singing Hawaiian music or whatever.
And to find that specialness, that trait, that uniqueness, and treasure it. Don't deny it. Don't push it away. Appreciate
embrace
it. Embrace
yeah.
it. Mm. Embrace it. Now, in a lot of ways, we're kind of just getting started, but time is of the essence. And when we come back from our break, Kelly Boy, I want you to share with us how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How you became a Christian. From your background to where you are today, you came to a crossroads in life. And you met Jesus.
Amen.
And when you hear his story, you will be moved. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Kelly Boy De Lima.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe.
Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. You know, a rare moment is when you can sit with an accomplished person and hear them share things that most people would never know. This is one of those times. This is a special rebroadcast. They Found the Answer, a series presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to learn more and to find out what it means to experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you go online, just go to the Get to Know Jesus tab. Now, let's take in more of The Good Life with Kelly Boy De Lima and Leo De Lima. Before our break, Kelly Boy was talking to us about the growing up days, the discovery of his passion and his genius, a gift in music, but also some rough times growing up, starting on the west side and then now in Kamuki, play music, brown bags to stardom, the beginning of finding your uniqueness. Here's a haole boy that can sing the Hawaiian falsetto. And there, Kili boy, you have such a uniqueness that your dad said, this becomes your trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that, embrace it.
Yeah.
But in all of this, you experienced a crossroads in life, and you came to know Jesus. Tell us about that.
I did. after all of the brown bags and stuff, eventually I hooked up with my two Tongan brothers, Tivaine and Temoni. And after high school, we got a job at the Polynesian Pub in Waikiki. My drug habit kind of started escalating, you know, meeting more people. During that time, we're playing for only tips, playing six nights a week, but we would make good in tips, you know. We was playing mm-hmm. for that. Those times, the drinking age was 18 in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So we'd play for, oh man, we'd have these kids from all over the world, you know, 18 years old, just graduated, you know, and we would pack the pub, the Polynesian Pub, and we're playing. And I remember my dad got sickly, and my dad had his heart attack, and he went down after a couple of years. But just before he was in the ICU, just before his passing, we were planning on doing our first album, our first live album. This was in 86. We had left the Polynesian Pub at that point. I was over at Sparky's Lounge now on Kapi'olani Boulevard. We were going to do the live recording at Sparky's Lounge. Mm-hmm. My dad was going to be a part of the recording. Anyway, 3 days before the recording, my dad passed away at Queens Hospital. And that was the hardest time. You know, he supported everything I did. You know, he bought me my first ukulele. What was that? The Polynesian Pub, they didn't have a sound system. He bought the sound system for us. And, you know, I remember him always telling me, I remember one night showing up mad, oh, Nuha, with the two Tongan brothers, you know, because they said something to me or whatever. And I was on stage and I had this Nuha face, you know, upset. And I went on a break. And even at that point, I was 18, 19 years old. He still was slapping me, my father. And he was sickly, you know. I mean, punch never had any of the kind, you know what I mean? But still, yeah, he slapped me, that bugger. And he told me, brother, I'm going to tell you this about this business. I don't care if you're mad, if you're in fight with your girlfriend, or you this or you that. You know what? You stand up there and you smile. You getting paid, you know what I mean, to entertain and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, from a young age, bro, I knew entertainment, bro. I mean, whether you feel sick, you had the kind, you still stand up, aloha, you know, and you know, you entertainment and you, you know, and I remember that anyway, all of these things, you know, started flooding into me. 2 or 3 days later was a Saturday afternoon. We recorded at Sparky's Lounge our first live album. And I remember my manager at the time taking on 1 minute pause, you know, in silence for my dad. And, oh, it was the hardest thing, you know, my throat. I had this lump in my throat and I had to sing. Anyway, we did the first album. It was a live album at Sparky's Lounge. And we dedicated it to my dad. And, you know, during those times, it got even more worse, my drug addiction. I started getting into, like, cocaine and Pacalolo, you know? And playing music at Sparky's Lounge, living this life, you know what I mean? This entertainment life. And I had my ex-girlfriend at that time that I was living with. And very, very sketchy time in my life, you know, the drugs. I mean, would go from cocaine to freebasing cocaine, you know, was terrible, to the point where I never even liked Pacalolo anymore. I was just doing the, you know what I mean, the cocaine stuff. And then went from that to the ice, you know what I mean? And this is after my dad. I mean, even with his passing, I think even got more worse, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. still playing at Sparky's Lounge, still doing the kind. I mean, really, really, you know what I mean? Anyway, I it was very hazy during those days for me. But I remember one night, my wife coming to Sparky's Lounge with some friends of ours from Hawaiian Hut. My wife sang and performed at the Hawaiian Hut, the Tihati, Ala Moana show. Mm-hmm. What was it called? Hawaiian Hut. The Hawaiian Hut
show. Were you guys married at the time?
No. She was just somebody that I admired from mm-hmm. a distance. So, I met her and we started, you know, going out I kept playing music at Sparky's Lounge, and then well, we're just dating, her and I, well, she got pregnant with our son, Kapena, and, we weren't married. We were, you know what I mean? She's a daughter of one pastor, you know what I mean? And, well, I went home to her house, and we told my father-in-law that, you know, she was pregnant, and I still had my drug problem. And, my father-in-law looked at me and he says, well, you guys getting married, you know? So I got married, but prior to us getting married, I remember I never got baptized ever in my life. I was, what, 20 years old already, right? Mm. 20 years old. And I went to the church and I got baptized. I never was baptized as a child, you know, how we baptize our little kids in church and stuff. This was my first time I ever got baptized. So I had to fast in our church. We go through fasting and, bro, I'm still on drugs. I'm on ice. You know what I mean? I still, and I'm playing music and I'm marrying my wife and, you know what I mean? I'm living, she doesn't even know that I'm leading this double agent kind of life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I try and hurry it up as quick as I can, but we get married. We get Kapena 6 months later, anyway. Yeah. We get married in November. Kapena comes out in March. And I don't even know what I got myself into. I married the pastor's daughter,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'm thinking to myself, you know what I mean? I'm in this relationship, living this double life. And I got one little kid. I got one baby, my son, Capena. And I'm even going to church now. I got no choice because her father is the pastor. You know, like, whether I wanted to or I didn't want to. You know, that's why when I sing that song, Jesus got a hold of my life. He really did. He really did get a hold of my life, even before I even... You know, sometimes we wait. Yeah, we're going to wait till I'm ready. You know what I mean? You know, Jesus can get a hold of your life, whether you're ready or not. You know what I mean? Mm. And I was leading this double life and married to my wife and coming to church. And I remember I had my drugs in my pouch, you know, and I would go inside my mother-in-law's bathroom and smoke my pipe, you know, during church services, then come back into, you know, just real hypocrite. You know what I mean? Well, I didn't even know what a hypocrite was at that time. I was just doing what I did. You know what I mean? And I don't know, honey, like after, I don't know what, 3 years of that, I think Kalena was born to me. I was still on the drugs, my daughter Kalena.
Leo, how did you feel going through all that?
I didn't know about any of this. It was actually the first 7 years of our marriage that this type of living was going on. And, you know, in retrospect, you know, you see all the signs, but you don't know what they mean. If you've never done that type of drugs, you don't know the symptoms. You don't know, you know, what the haze over the eyes are, why he's talking at one moment and not at others. So all these mood swings, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was really kind of hurting our marriage, you know? So just, you know, really during that time, I was just trying to be the best mom, the best wife that I could be, you know, not knowing. But at this same time, I was becoming closer and closer to the Lord. In 1991, I gave my heart to the Lord. And that was the same year my daughter was born, yeah? So it was during this time that I started to go into what we call in our church, Pule Hamau, a week of fast, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that week is dedicated to the Lord for breakthroughs, you know?
Yes.
So even though I didn't know what was going on, you know something's going on. You just don't know what it is, you know? So it was during this time that he was, you know, in this place that I started to seek after the Lord and try to find answers for me and my house, yeah? So it was like during this time, but you know, I often describe it to people as the silent war. Mm. You know, when you live in a home and you don't know, but you can feel it. You know what I mean? You know something's wrong. You don't know what it is. You can't put your finger on it, but you can feel it.
Yes.
I call it the silent war. And during those years, I just like sought the Lord and not knowing that God was going to fight all the battles for me mm-hmm. and win him over to Christ, which is exactly what happened.
You know, when we come back, you're going to hear about a breakthrough. God hears prayers, and God answers prayers. You realize that? You realize that when you pray, God hears and God answers. You're going to hear about what God did in the life of Kelly Boy De Lima of Capena. When we come back from our break, you don't want to miss it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Amashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Amashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. This, again, is a special rebroadcast presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show in a series entitled, They Found the Answer. Our featured guest today is Kelly Boy De Lima. If you're asking, how can I have a relationship with Jesus like how Kelly is talking about? Well, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We also have other resources, too, at thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, here's more with Kelly Boy De Lima and Leo De Lima. Kelly Boy De Lima and Leo De Lima of Kapena. You know, contact me. You can contact me via email, danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. Or you can visit me on Facebook. But let me know how these programs, this show, has inspired you, has impacted you, has built you up. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to share it with the rest of our audience. But before our break, Kelly Boy, you were telling us about your life, a dual life. And Leo, you were praying for a breakthrough.
Amen.
A breakthrough. Kelly Boy, what happened?
Well, that breakthrough came through, Danny. You know, my wife stood in the gap for me, and she prayed. And she prayed. And one day, I was riding my Harley Davidson up Kahuipa Street. That's in Kaneohe. And I got smashed by by a vehicle. And I broke my fibula and my fib and tib in my left leg. And as I was down on the road, I saw my whole life flash before my eyes. And I heard God speak to me, and he said, "Brada." And God does speak pidgin, by the way. He said, "Brada, you got to wake up. Mm. You got to change your life, and you got to, this is it," you know? That was the last straw. You know what I mean? It was the last straw. There was a year prior to that, I think, that I quit the ice, and I quit, but I was still, you know what I mean? I was still in the world, you know what I mean? Not focused.
Did you feel like you were sort of in control of things, that you were making things happen, and you a kind of a strength that you felt? Was that a feeling that you had?
No, I didn't. I wasn't in control of anything.
Okay.
Because God wasn't in full control of my life yet.
Yeah.
when he laid me down on that road, which is Kahuipa.
Yeah.
Kahuipa means shepherd. You know, in the Old Testament, God uses the analogy of that one sheep that always runs away. And always, you know what I mean? That he goes and you see some illustration or pictures of God holding that one lamb over his leg. Because in the Old Testament, they would break his leg, the leg, so that that Kolohe lamb would stop running away.
Yes.
Well, he did that for me. And what street did he do it on? Shepherd Street.
Shepherd
my
Street.
Shepherd. You know, he broke my leg. And he carries me around his neck till today. You know, and you know, he had compassion. And not ultimately, he answered prayer. You know, he answered prayer and my wife standing in the gap. And all of that pilikia, pilau, Kelly boy, that the kind got transformed and washed away. It, you know, when I talk about my past and I talk, that stuff God already told me that he threw into the lake of forgetfulness, you know? It's like, I'm not the same guy. I'm not the same Kelly boy as that person, you know? And today, I live for Jesus. I live for Christ. I've not been back in the drugs for what? How long now, honey?
19 years.
About 19 years now. Yeah. You know, I put that stuff away. Today, my children all perform with me.
Yeah.
My group Capenna is still going after 25 years.
Going strong.
Going strong with the next generation, all of my kids. Mm-hmm. We all together. Me and my wife make 23 years marriage this November. And God just showed me his goodness out of all of the bad that I went through. And, you know, we all go through bad. We all got a story, you know. But ultimately, you know what I mean? We got a God that will pluck us out of the world and dust us off and clean us up and show us and put us on the right path, you know.
Leo, what would you say to a woman that's praying for her husband that's feeling like, when is my breakthrough coming? What would you say?
Right. You know, I just really want to encourage women because oftentimes we pray, but we pray such shallow prayers. You know, we just say, Lord, please bless my husband or please, you know, in Jesus' name. And we think that's a prayer. You know, the prayers that I prayed for my husband were oftentimes not even in words, but my tears would say what I was feeling. Yeah. But I never gave up. You know, I was relentless. I was tenacious. All these big words. Honey, you know what these words mean?
No, I don't.
It's good. The words I'm using is just to not give up.
Yes.
And I tell women when they're praying for their husbands or vice versa, I say, you know what? Dig your heels in and get ready. Because this is not just a fly-by-night thing that you just do once and forget about it. I say, you stay there. And I was just looking for a scripture verse. You remember when Jacob wrestled with God?
Yes.
And God said, let me go. And he said, not until you bless me. That was my prayer. I said, I am not going to let you go, Lord. I will continue. I was the woman, the Bible also talks about a woman who just came before the judge and she was there. He was annoyed by her.
Yeah.
That was my plight. I was going to annoy God with my prayer until he listened to me. And I said, I am not going to stop. You will hear me day and night and night and day until you bless him.
Delicious.
And that's what it took. And I think that kind of desperate prayer is the prayer that God's looking for.
This has been a special rebroadcast of a previously recorded show featuring Kelly Boy and Leo De Lima. If you'd like to learn more about our show or need prayer or discover how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of churches, partner churches who partner with us, as well as businesses who are able to help meet your needs. Psalm 112 verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generations of the upright will be blessed. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Kelly Boy De Lima and his dear wife, Leo De Lima. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.